Father, you are so good to us. How can we ever give you enough praise and enough thanks for the ways that you weave our experience into our salvation? Lord, you know exactly what you're shooting for every minute of every day that we walk with you. So, Lord, thank you for the testimonies that we can share of your faithfulness in trial. God, thank you for the week that you gave us. Whatever the problems were, Lord, you did a work. And we thank you that today we can meet together and encourage one another in Christ. Lord, that your word was designed specifically for this moment to deal with us right where we are. Lord, the future is coming, the past is past, but you meet us in the now. And you are present here. So, Lord, just have free reign here. Lord, bring surrender here. Bring your process to bear on our souls. Lord, we thank you that you're good and we trust you. And we know that your spirit will come upon this word that is your word, God, that we may be changed more and more into your likeness. So, Lord, just have at it. And thank you ahead of time for all that you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, welcome to session 17. And my thanks to John for covering things. And next week we get Bill. So, seeing the full array of giftedness among us. So, in the previous sessions, in this section of James, remember James and John reminded us nicely last week that James is written to believers, okay? Obviously, things can be generalized to the people at large, but this is a book to believers. And we looked at what true religion is first, then what true faith is, evidenced by impartiality, evidenced by works, and evidenced by words. And now we're in the section of what is true wisdom. So this is the third part of that discussion. So in James, he's been leading us in exploring the application of true wisdom to our personal lives and to our corporate life experience in the body of Christ. We have considered the nature of true wisdom versus false, worldly wisdom. We consider the nature of true wisdom versus false worldly wisdom. And then we were led last time in the pitfalls of friendship with the world that excludes God, our Creator, who is passionate over our souls that he sovereignly has breathed into existence. In this session today, James continues to hold the nature of the untamed tongue from chapter 3, verse 8, and ungodly passion, which opened chapter 4. He holds these things in full view as he addresses the next problem that can befall us. So James is the marksman, and he has in his crosshairs every section something that really can befall us. You know, we can fall into the pit of whatever it is. So this is why he's a thrilling person to read. Okay, so let's read just these two little verses. Somebody? Verses 11 and 12 of chapter 4.
Brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor?
All right, thank you. Okay, so what is really the issue that James is focusing? And I liked that your version said what? What's the issue?
About judging others.
Yeah, well, you used a different word.
Slander.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. Does anybody else have slander?
I do slander.
Yeah. What is slander? What is it?
False accusations.
False accusations. Yeah. 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 I actually...
With maliciousness.
Well, yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think there is a motive.
Intent to hurt.
To, yeah.
Intent to defame.
Defame is another word. Yeah, this is right. I looked it up in Noah. And slander is uttering false statements about another to harm him or harm his character or reputation. So remember, reputation, the Latin of that, puto is to think, and re is to, again, so you think again about somebody. You think somebody has a certain reputation. Well, this slander is designed to harm that reputation, to bring that reputation down, what people think. And then defamation is the other word. And to defame someone is to attack, again, the reputation up. Isn't it funny how we carry in our heads, for every person we know, a certain sphere of knowledge about him that is his reputation, based on our limited experience. You know, we have an opinion on everybody. You know, you may have met one person one time for 5 minutes, and you have an opinion for 1,000 years. I mean, isn't that crazy? So this is why slander is so devastating, because you are impacting something that's extremely personal and precious to this person, and you're changing the opinion of another person by gossiping about them, about what they're doing. So just to give you the power of this, and think of the body of Christ, oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, if we're speaking against wickedness, speaking evil against our brothers and sisters in Christ.
I think the sad thing, too, is, you know, we think we're easily deceived. I mean, we are easily deceived. And when somebody says something about somebody else, it stays in your head. And no matter what that person does, that thing is still there. Yeah. It's so bad.
Yeah.
Think of the consequences of Miriam, Moses' sister. Wasn't it Moses' sister that spoke against him or his wife or something?
Yeah.
And she was stricken with, I think, leprosy, if I'm correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, God is not pleased.
That would teach us.
Yeah. All right. So what is, the issue? The issue is slander. What is the nature of slander? I mean, what, there's a law that is being violated here. What is that law? And we kind of spoke of it back in chapter 2, but what do you think the law is that's involved that we are violating when
judging. Judging.
Yeah, that's what we're doing wrong, but what's...
Relying.
Okay. And God says, do not, God says, do not do that.
Right. Well, back in James 2:8, which you wrote down,
go ahead,
it says to love your neighbor.
Yeah, okay, yeah. That's...
we're breaking the law of love.
Yeah, you're breaking the law of love. There you go. Yeah. The royal law. I love that. I always wonder why is it the royal law. But, yeah. So, if you really fulfill the royal law according to Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, and that's from Leviticus 19:18.
Jeff, can I just share something?
Yes, please.
It just strikes me that our conversation is always safe if we're talking only about the person we're talking with and about God.
Wow.
And we never worry ourselves or bring into conversation someone else, unless it's two parents talking about a child or something. But, you know, do you understand what I'm saying? We are always safe.
Safety.
If our conversation is you and me and our Lord. And that way we're, I think we're just always on safe ground. Mm-hmm. We aren't even in a realm where we can slander anyone else because we aren't talking about anyone else.
Yeah.
It just hit me. That's all.
It's good.
So face-to-face in God's presence, slander is impossible. Nice. That's very good. Okay, now, the next question. With respect to this law, then, of love, what position do we take when we slander another brother or sister? I mean, literally, what are we doing in that moment?
We're a usurper.
Yeah.
Making ourselves a judge.
Yeah. Realize that. I mean, yeah, you know, you can read this casually and, okay, well, I won't do that. Well, what are you really doing? You are claiming superior knowledge is what you're doing. You are putting yourself above the law itself. And you are judging the law of God, this perfect law that was written. You're judging that law as inferior to your own understanding in the moment. Oh my gosh.
That's perfect.
That's all.
That's just what we need.
That took me to the mat.
Yeah.
I just said, oh.
But I don't think people realize the consequences of our actions. And I'm not sure if that's the next question or not, but when you judge, you shall be judged. And I think of a story, I don't know if anybody watches Joyce Myers. And she had all her pregnancies were wonderful. But then her last pregnancy, she was sick as, like, so sick, vomiting all the time, and she couldn't understand it. And she, after like 2 months or 3 months, she went to the Lord and said, "What is the problem?" And the Lord brought her back to an incident where she was giving a Bible study, and this woman wouldn't come to the study because she was sick with her pregnancy. And Joyce would judge her all the time, saying, "She should get out of bed and she should come to the study," and this and that. And she had to repent.
I don't
think that people realize that there are so many, just like we talked, you know, said something about Miriam, there are consequences to our actions, whether we know them or not.
Mm-hmm.
It happens.
And it's all in God's love for her. It was in God's love for her.
Yes,
and
she
said,
she's right. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
As soon as
yeah.
she repented, she got better.
That is an interesting story.
Mm-hmm. That's
good. So, thank you for that. So that's really what we're doing. We put ourselves, and you know what spiritually happens to us.
First thing that happens because you have the Holy Spirit is you lose your peace.
Yeah, thank God for that, right?
Yeah, you try to keep justifying what you said and did and forget about it.
Yeah, so. Yeah, we're swept away, aren't we? We're swept from the humble, gentle rest that Jesus affords us. We're swept from that position into a position of arrogance that God despises. Okay, that is like a wind that takes us away in that moment. And you know, Jesus says, "I am gentle and lowly, and, you know, come unto me." I mean, the position that we have in Christ is so precious, and it's so fragile. Mm-hmm. And when we judge, this wind comes and sweeps us away out of his embrace, and we are in trouble. And John so beautifully highlighted for us last time those two verses in chapter 4. You know, what was it? God gives grace to the humble. You know, humble yourselves, therefore, before the Lord. He will exalt you. And then the other one was unfaithful creatures. And there were two verses there, weren't there, with your handout. Yeah, there are two verses that whenever we humble ourselves, you know, God will give us grace.
Mm-hmm. More grace. Right?
And all the blessings of humility are, verse 6. Yeah. And then you repeated that. And the blessings of humility are? I love that. Lest you miss the point. So 4:6 and 4:10, we see the beauty of humility. And, you know, the converse is we see the horror of arrogance that we're swept away. So, All right. So that's kind of, Tansy, your word usurp is perfect. As a self-proclaimed lawgiver, we in arrogance usurp God's position, denying him and sinning against him. So this little idle word that you throw out there about somebody leads into a chasm of catastrophe spiritually. It's just amazing. So, any other thoughts on that? All right, so let's look at verse 12. And I love how the power that James uses here. This is such a sovereignly powerful verse that he puts forth here. He says, there is one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you that you judge your neighbor? And I was taken to, what is the overarching sovereign, majestic truth that we need to always keep in mind when we deport ourselves amongst the body and we're tempted to say things? I mean, what is this, the majestic truth that we need to keep front and center?
He is God and we are not.
Yeah.
Well, we'll stand before God.
Yes, we will.
And answer for every word.
Yeah.
That we've spoken in our lifetime. I tell Jesus you. Told us that. So I don't remember Deuteronomy 6:4. I'm trying to dredge my memory.
Is yeah. That hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. One. It's a uniplural noun. All right. It's unity and diversity.
Wow.
And, these verses, it's just, that's 6:4. Ephesians 4:4-6, we come again to this. It just is mighty. There is one body and one spirit, just you were called to one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is above all, through all, and in all. And there's one judge. So this one echoes throughout Scripture like a thunderbolt. And when we mess with usurping his position, we're going to get zapped. We're going to get nailed. He's not going to let it slide.
You know what I always think of is that always helps me. It's not willy-nilly that we're together. You know, the Lord has put us together.
Yeah.
Like, this is what he's put together for today. This is his plan.
Yeah.
And so to understand, can you say, well, I don't really like what you put together, Lord. I mean, who would ever do that?
Yeah.
But if we get it in our heads that, like, he's put each one of us together, we're brothers and sisters in Christ to love on each other and encourage each other and challenge each other and build each other up and exhort each other for his glory.
Yeah.
And that's his plan.
Yeah.
He's done it.
Mm-hmm.
So who are we to ever complain about it?
Yeah.
But we do.
Yeah, we do. And then we're what?
And then we lose our peace.
Yeah. Because we're putting ourselves
right
in his position, like we know what's best.
Yeah.
The analogy is, you have a 2-year-old. Now, does that 2-year-old know the next step to becoming a 3-year-old?
No.
I don't think so. He doesn't have a clue. Well, how do we have a clue about what the next step of our sanctification is?
Yeah. Or someone else's sanctification.
Or anybody's, yes. Mm-hmm. And yet we think we know, don't we?
We decide they're not on the journey.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
So this is all going to come around. in the end, there's a very important piece to this picture that I would love to hear everybody. We're going to have some time to just, I'd love to hear your thoughts on the end of this
thing. Thank you for your mercy, Lord.
Yeah. All right. So that majestic sovereign truth is God alone is true, and he's in a position to judge, and we aren't. That's it. So what is our response, really? What attitude must we have when we're snared by the sin of speaking evil? How do we then live? How do we respond?
I think confession, repentance, and I think we seek forgiveness from the person we have harmed.
Good.
We just acknowledge the truth of what we've done and ask for forgiveness.
That's really important. Yeah.
But the major thing is we see the truth, because most people are blind to it.
Yeah.
We sometimes say, well, why did this happen to us or to me? And, you know, oh, it's Satan, it's this and that, not realizing that it's something that we've done ourselves.
Yeah.
And I think our attitude has to be one that, you know, recognition that we're all sinners and that we all fall short.
Yeah.
And that, you know, somebody may have done something, but look at what we've done. Look at what God's forgiven us.
Really, really.
That's good, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to look at a set of scriptures that are going to help us with that again. All right, so really, there is nothing else that we can bring forward that has any validity when we do this. It must be repentance. It must be, holy fear, you know. And again, John already led us to a verse about judgment that we're going to look at. But what is holy fear? And how do we distinguish that from general fear?
Well, I mean, I think what comes to mind for me anyway is that general fear is the traditional, in my opinion, flight or fight scenario.
Okay.
Okay, where there's a physical threat.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think spiritual fear is there's no physical threat, but you come into the realization that you violated one of God's laws and that you've sinned against not only God, but against others as well. I mean, that's what I'm getting.
Yeah.
And I agree. I think it's that recognition that God is the righteous judge.
Yeah.
He is right to judge us, and he has the right to judge us. Yes. And as Bill said, God is God, we are not.
Yeah.
But he is the righteous. He is perfectly right in judging us for every word and every act and thought. That's that recognition is the holy fear, the holy respect.
We're coming
into the presence of the judge.
Yeah.
Thank God for Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Oh, my heavens, yes.
We could not stand.
Yeah. Again, right, that little bit that we spoke about a couple of weeks ago, now we see in a mirror dimly.
Mm.
Well, then face to face.
That face, Jeff.
Yeah.
Sorry. I wore a mask.
I love it. I'm making faces.
But I mean, it's not in the scriptures, but it's I don't know. I think when we see face to face, we're going to see the love of God, but we're also going to see the fullness of our sin, and then we'll know the love of Christ in a way that we'll never have known it before, because we'll see in one grand finale all that he paid for us, that we might have eternal life in the presence of God the Father and the Spirit and the Son.
You know, another thing to think about is you know, like watch a mother or a father with their child, their little child, and how they absolutely love that child, right? And if anyone came and did something to that child or said something, well, never, not did something, said something nasty mm-hmm. about that child, like, oh, look at that bald kid, or anything, you know what I mean? You can just imagine that mother or father.
Yeah. Wow.
Just in the natural, we as people in the natural, how angry and wrathful we would be.
Yeah.
And to realize that God looks at every one that he's created as precious. That's his child.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I would, you don't want to be in the situation where you're speaking against his child, no matter how they're behaving.
Yeah.
Because his wrath is real.
Mm.
You know, so
oh, that's
it helps to think of people as precious in his sight, no matter how you look at them, because you're blind, you know. So
that's beautiful. All right, so holy fear, you know, is, and repentance, that holy fear that brings us to repentance and humility, because God alone is able to save and destroy the soul of men and women. So, you know, and we've been, the other truth that is so, we have to keep this in mind. There's one other thing that we need to always keep in mind when we're dealing with another person and judging them, that God alone has what? What does he have that we don't got?
Knowledge.
He has knowledge. Mm. He knows the story. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows where every single person has begun their journey of life. Some people begin in a place of privilege. Some people are born into a Christian family. That obviously doesn't guarantee anything, but... And some people are born in a crack house and are beaten and bruised and abused sexually. I mean, only God knows this story. And who are we really to judge people who we proclaim as losers when they are fighting a battle? We don't have a clue about the battle that they're fighting. We don't know the ditch that they are being dug out of by the Holy Spirit of God. You know, God alone has that knowledge mm-hmm. of the fullness of this story. And it's just not our role to judge. It's just not. I don't care how hot you think you are. It ain't right.
They're just faces again.
Well, I'm speaking to myself, all right? When you see the face, I'm looking in the mirror. You know? And it's ugly. It's ugly what I see. All right. Okay? Any other? God has the story. God is the judge. God alone. The Lord is one.
The people around this table will never be the same.
All right, let's look at these other bullets from other scriptures. So let's go to the source himself. Somebody read for us Matthew 7, 1 through 5.
Do not judge, or you will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they will trample them under their feet, and then turn and tear you to pieces. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you.
All right, so
one through five.
Yeah.
Seven, yeah.
That's all right. You just keep going.
We'll just wanted to read.
It's the word of God. We can sit here the rest of the day and not be losers. So, yeah, what is the main point of these words of Christ? I mean, the irony is just amazing here. But
actually, I just saw something new, Jeff. Which you know, we're not the judge. We all have issues of our own. But he does say, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly. So when we, there is a role for us in teaching and admonishing and speaking the truth
okay.
and love
all
to
right.
others.
This, now you're okay. getting hot. Yeah.
So, but the issue is we have to go in prayer first and make sure that what we're coming with yes. to that other person is the Holy Spirit's discernment that we've been given. Not our agenda, not my distorted vision of who they ought to be, but this is a clear instruction from God through the Holy Spirit that this person needs to know something, and I'm to deliver that. Right. You know, but that has to come with the Spirit, and it has to be a clear vision from Him, not mine.
All right. Hold that thought, because we're going to go back there. That is really big. And that is something. Anybody else see something else in those five verses?
I just want to say that, you know, the thing that I love about counseling is that you get healed while you're counseling. Because somebody is counseling you the whole time you're counseling. And you are seeing yourself. And you are seeing your sins. And you are seeing things that you never could have seen any other way except in this little intimate moment with another person. And it's like, it's incredible. It's absolutely the most incredible thing in the world. You know? I love it.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, I'm always saying when I'm counseling, I'm going, oh my goodness, I just got healed. Because I see things that I couldn't have seen otherwise.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's good.
All right. Let's look at Romans 2, 1 through 5. Now notice we've gone we're putting slander and judgment kind of in the same bucket here. Okay, I didn't mean to do that by sleight of hand. We started with slander, now we're in all these judgment scriptures, but they're really shades of the same thing, are they not? So, okay. So, yeah, somebody read Romans 2, 1 through 5.
Therefore, you have no excuse or defense or justification, O man, whoever you are who judges and condemns another. For in posing as judge and passing sentence on another, you condemn yourself. Because you who judge are habitually practicing the very same thing that will ensure and denounce. But we know that the judgment, adverse verdict sentence of God falls justly and in accordance with truth upon those who practice such things. Or do you think or imagine, O man, when you judge and condemn those who practice such things and yet do them yourself, that you will escape God's judgment and elude his sentence and adverse verdict. Mm-hmm. Am I supposed to go on?
Yeah, through verse 5.
Okay. Or are you so blind as to trifle with and presume upon and despise and underestimate the wealth of his kindness and forbearance and long-suffering and patience? Are you unmindful or actually ignorant of the fact that God's kindness is intent to lead you to repent, to change your mind and inner man to accept God's will. But by your callous stubbornness and impenitence of heart, you are storing up wrath and indignation for yourself on the day of wrath and indignation when God's righteous judgment, just doom, will be revealed.
Wow.
So what is Paul bringing into view in this segment? We've spoken of it, but
stand before God.
Yeah.
For our judgment.
Yes, the believer's judgment. Psalm.
Now we condemn ourselves when we talk against another.
Yeah. Yeah, certainly isn't in our mind when we utter these statements, but we're really just putting a dagger into our own person. Mm-hmm. And you know, you'll know a tree by its fruits. We will fall and we'll stumble, but Jesus will capture us from our fall. I mean, he will bring it. And when you have someone who just incessantly is judging, and you know, and they don't know Christ, and there's no Jesus to catch them, what do they turn into? What does that look like? Over. I mean, so it's probably somebody that, you know, you grew up with, or was a parent or something. That judgment, 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 judgment. I mean, what does that person end up like?
Arthritis.
Arthritis.
Bitterness.
Yeah.
It's bad for the bones.
Bitter. Yeah. You're right. No.
Bitter really comes.
Bitter is a good word. Bitterness.
I'm serious.
Yeah. Spiritually stiff, right? Yeah. Arthritis. Just.
And so unfulfilled, they've helped no one.
Yeah.
Ooh. I mean, they're just.
Yeah,
their life
they condemn
been,
themselves.
They've condemned themselves and condemning just the purposelessness, the uselessness.
Yeah. So. All right. And finally, Romans 14. 1-4. Now, this was very interesting. There's a little different shade here. See if you can pick it up. Somebody read that one for us. Romans 14, 1-4. It's all about judgment, but it's a different twist.
Except him whose faith is weak, without passing judgment on disputable matters. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man, whose faith is weak, eats only vegetables. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not. And the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. Amen.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
Ah! So what is Paul addressing here? What's the issue now?
I think we're in our faith journey. We're in different places in our faith journey.
Good. Mm-hmm. That's a great way to put it.
And God knows.
And God knows
where each one
where
is.
Each.
And that's the important relationship is between that person and God.
Yes.
And God knows.
Yeah.
And trusting God to cause that person to stand.
Right.
God will do that.
He will make a 2-year-old stand, and he'll make it a 50-year-old stand.
Yeah. He will.
And the pictures are very different. But we cannot judge each other's journey. That's perfect, Nancy. You know, an apple is green at the right time, and it's red and ready to eat at the right time. We cannot judge the harvest of an apple. And we can't condemn it for being green and inedible. You know, I mean, sometimes our journey is literally inedible to another person. They're going to say, well, what on earth? You know, I can't taste and see that anything's good about you. But you know what? God is at work, and we cannot judge. And I mean, you can go all around the things that divide Christendom over this thing. You know, alcohol and tongues. And I mean, we can just do all this judging and separating. Man,
right. Whew,
keep the main thing, please. Mm-hmm. And let's not judge one another. Okay, on where we are and what liberties we have or what restrictions we feel. You know, I can look at my own life and just see all kinds. I was drugs and I was crazy and Vietnam protesting and everything. And I had to be spiritually in intensive care for a long time. I did not touch alcohol. I did not do anything because I had been delivered from it. But now I can have a glass of wine and truly praise God because it's relaxing and I really enjoy it. It's a great time of my life. But I couldn't have done that 40 years ago. It was not permitted, and now it is. So, you know, what's the deal? You know, I mean, that's just one trivial example, but you can go through your life. And some people, they'll never have alcohol because they know that they cannot have it because it will enslave them. It'll take them down the road. And so let's, yeah. Anything else? I mean, that's...
When you think of the small, trivial things that Satan uses to get us to divide each other, it's just, it's so sad.
Yeah. And that's always his agenda, is it
not? Yeah, to divide us.
So I say we have worlds of time for this last bit. We've got 2 minutes. What do you think is the difference between judging and spiritual discerning? All right, this is a really important thing, and John's already nailed it, but is anybody else... Judging versus spiritually discerning. And what a beautiful way to take Matthew 7 and just say, yeah, you, the plank comes out, and then you do take the speck. But so what's the difference? What has happened here?
One's in love.
One is in love. That's...
And God's timing.
Yes. Love and in God's timing.
Because if it's not God's timing, the person can't receive it. They just get angry.
Boy. Man, we have that nailed. God will give you, when you're walking in Him, you know, we're studying this really awesome book, R.T. Kendall. It's called Holy Fire. And he talks about the direct and immediate visitation of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Yeah, this is not, that was all great for the early church, but now we're, you know, waiting for the Holy Spirit. No.
I love Him.
The Holy Spirit, direct and immediate. And the example He used when John and Peter were walking and the crippled man is lying there and Peter, they've walked by Him 100 times, but in this moment, Peter says to the man, the crippled man, look at us. And he looks up. The guy's healed right there. Now, why that particular 100th time? It was the direct and immediate impact of the Holy Spirit on that moment that does this. And God will do this when we're walking in Christ. As John, you've already done it. So, just another...
One real quick comment. It was funny, when you said that, it was like, that was what jumped out at me too, was that like, yeah, we've got to take the board out of it, but then we see clearly. But then I started looking at it, and there's one other thing that I want to point out.
Oh, yeah, please.
It says, you will see clearly to remove. And it, to me, that's saying God wants us to be active. Because if we just... Even if we do it in love... Sometimes if you feel like you can be leaving somebody hanging, it's like you point that thing out. But God's saying, no, you be active. You help remove that speck of dust out of that person's eye. So then we become active.
Yeah.
And it shows our love that not only do we care enough to point it out, but we'll help them get rid of it.
Right. Right.
And we'll walk with them.
Yeah.
Right. And we will walk with them, and we'll pray for them, and we'll minister.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you so much.
And it isn't in judgment; it's in love,
right.
And they know that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So on the second page is just a reflection on what's been so beautifully brought forward already. It is important to remember the role of spiritual discernment in the Christian life, as it brings the matter under consideration to the throne of God, and releases it to Him. In a spirit of humble trust and intercession. We are meant to intercede for one another.
Yeah.
Always remember, intercession means to fall between.
Yeah.
Cato is to fall. Inter is between. And just as Christ intercedes for us at the throne of grace, He's coming between our sin and a holy God. And we are meant to intercede for one another. Yes. Mm-hmm. And this is spiritual discernment. That has nothing to do with judgment. This is a whole other world. Because the matter is being brought under consideration to the throne of God, the judge, and releases the matter to him in a spirit of humble trust and intercession. In so doing, we are kept from a multitude of sins that occur when we usurp God's authority, a dangerous position that puts us upon the path of satanic deception. Satan's desire is always that we would be enslaved to a blasphemous view of ourselves that reeks of arrogance. Strife and division invariably result from believers taking up such positions of darkness. So may it never be at Chippewa Valley. May it never be that we fall into this. And then James, how many times have we seen, "Who are you, O man," or whatever? And that's how he finishes this whole thing. He's like, "But who are you? You judge your neighbor. You Johnny come lately." All right, let's pray. God, we thank you for two verses. Oh my gosh, and you have been glorious here from every person. Lord, thank you for this instruction. May we never recover from this, ever. Lord, may we just realize what's at stake when we start flapping. Lord, may we understand what we are doing to another's reputation. May we understand what we are getting in line for at judgment. So, Lord, I just confess I'm the chief of sinners in this area around this table. I don't care what anybody thinks. I need you to set a door over my lips, a watch. God, thank you for just bringing us to this place of humble confession and repentance that we might be changed. So thank you, God, for all of the wisdom that you have uttered through so many here today. Lord, we thank you for the platform that we have, the awe and the reverence that we experience in your word, God, that we can come and we can worship with a whole heart. There is nothing that's going to get in the way of worship today. Nothing. Lord, you are glorious, you are holy, you're just, you're true, you're righteous, you're loving, you're compelling, and we want to worship you in the fullness of spirit and truth today. So anoint the worship team. God, just bless Joe, and may all the prayers just redound in your throne room to your glory and your pleasure. And the word preached, Lord, may it be a sword that just undoes all of the demonic stuff that's trying to enslave us. God, thank you for the promise of being with Michael and giving him utterance. And Lord, we just can't thank you enough for the beauty and the love of Christ that we have around this table. Lord, this is precious stuff, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.